And he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline, as he does each week, Bernie Kosar. Bernie, so much to talk about with this draft. I mean, a lot of second-guessing, frankly, going on, especially with those back-to-back trades in rounds 4 and 5. And I know that that's maybe taken over the conversation, but I want to back it up to the very beginning because I really haven't had your chance to weigh in on starting off with what this team did in round 1, going after Barkevius Mingo, going after an athlete, a pass rusher who has all the speed, all the dynamics that I think, and we talked about this right up to the draft, that if they went in this direction, this would make sense. So I think right off the bat, predictable, sensible first-round pick.
Well, me and you have been talking for months, and especially the draft week, about our enjoyment or our like of the way getting our front seven to get after the opposing team's quarterback. And, you know, I see some people saying, well, we had that position taken care of with Kruger and Jabal Sheard. But, and that may be true, but to have a guy, you can't have enough pass rushers. And with Mingo being younger, being 240 pounds, with that athleticism, I think it's something that you need to do, and it's good to do, to be able to have guys that don't maybe have to play. He'll play, but doesn't have to carry the whole team, carry the whole boat, and has so much potential upside that it's something that, as a quarterback who's retired, who doesn't have to face that type of pass rush, it's something I think would be good to do.
Yeah, and I think from the standpoint of making sure that you've got enough people up front to get the job done, because there was this thought, okay, this would be a luxury pick. I don't see it that way, Bernie. As much as I think Jabal Sheard could make that transition from end to outside linebacker, it doesn't bother me to add another guy that you feel you know, even have more of a sense that he could be dynamic and he could make an impact. And he doesn't necessarily have to start off the bat or be an every down kind of player. I just would be happy to know that when you go to pass rush, you got Kruger coming off one side, you got this guy involved, and whoever else in the mix, including Sheard, tearing after the quarterback.
Absolutely. And again, with the long season and with the new system and with Ray Horton's creativity, it's something that having that type of depth to get after it is something that I think is really going to be taken advantage of and a real asset for the Cleveland Browns, and especially the defense.
So now we go to round 3, and they pick up Leon McFadden, a cornerback from San Diego State. Not the tallest guy, just over, I think, 5'9". But a very solid player, and you saw him when he came to Berea, a solid 193 pounds, just kind of thickly built kid. So I don't worry. I mean, I think the initial thought was, how is he going to handle the bigger receivers that he has to go against in the course of a season? That doesn't concern me. What I think is most important about this pick is that this is a very bright kid. This is a guy who, handling what will be a complicated Ray Horton defense, where the corner, where especially a rookie corner, is going to be put in a lot of bad situations with all that zone blitzing. I think it requires a sense of awareness, of instinct, of just basic smarts, which this kid has to handle. And I think if you put another rookie in there, or almost any corner in there, and this would include Joe Hayden, that first year of that defense, there are going to be struggles at the corner position. I think you help minimize that a little bit by bringing in a guy with a high level of IQ that I think McFadden has.
Well, I agree. Plus, taking it one step further, the way the NFL and maybe life is going, where and it's the same with Mingo from Belgrade, Florida, down here. It's imperative, at least to me, and I think the Bill Belichick model has shown this out over the last decade, that with guys at the top of your team, the top of the draft, the leadership in the locker room, those are the ones that end up getting the biggest contracts, having the biggest expectations. And I think it's imperative that those kind of guys are your leaders, your smart guys, and I'm not saying anybody on the team's not smart, but the guys who work out the most, who are the good guys on and off the field, they set the example, and you decrease the statistical thing of a failure because they have good character and the money and the NFL lifestyle and things of that nature and all the credit and all the people that come around, don't affect guys who have that type of stability within their own, I think, personal character. And I think we saw that with our first and third round pick, because I know there's been a lot of talk about some of the stuff on the later round picks. That's actually when you speculate.
Yeah, and that is a perfect transition to where we're going to go next. Bernie Kosar is joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's talk about the final day of this draft, really, when this team shocked a lot of people by trading out of rounds 4 and rounds 5 to upgrade those picks for next year, getting the third rounder for round four of this year and the fourth rounder for the round 5 of this year, but doing that first deal with the Steelers. And that's the one that I think people are having the toughest time to come to grips with. It is a bold move. It is a truly stunning thing to make a deal like that in your division with the Steelers, no less. I mean, Bernie, what was your first reaction to that?
My first reaction, and I want to say this right so I don't have a lot of people and through the country don't call me for more interviews on this, but my first reaction was, why the heck did Mike Holmgren and them not do that last year when we had all those picks? So we could have had more like that. When we had all those picks last year, I was like praying that we would be able to do some of that. Again, I don't want to keep talking about Ozzie or Bill Belichick or the Harbaughs up in Frisco. But those teams, that's what they do to build draft picks for the future. And last year would have set up this year even better. It's a tough situation with the scouting department still there, a new upper-level management, and guys getting to know each other. And when you don't know each other and you haven't had the whole year plus of analyzing that level of players, and I'm not trying to minimize or be critical of guys to get picked later or sign as undrafted free agents. But the way the league's going, those are things that you need to hit diamonds in the rough. And if you haven't, you know, if you're not exactly on the same page and you don't know pretty much for sure or have a good feeling, I really think it's I like trading for picks, higher picks next year with it, when you have time to really analyze where you're at, what your needs are, and who the guys are you could pick. Because, heck, you could pick guys to pick guys, and we all could talk about them today and feel good about them, and then we cut them in August, and they're gone. You know, so do not, if you don't think you got a conviction of somebody who could make your team, but not only just make your team, be a productive player, because you want to make guys who could make plays for you. And if you don't have a solid conviction towards somebody, right now, I really like the idea of getting higher picks next year.
Yeah, I think this was the ultimate case of trusting your evaluations, of believing so much in how you have players rated, how you had them rated throughout the draft, but particularly when you get into this tricky area of the bottom half of the draft and say, are we really getting value here? Is someone that we pick in round 4 or round 5 going to help us this year, or are they just going to be kind of camp fodder? And I think when they came to that conclusion, they were confident in dealing away the pick and confident in allowing the Steelers to do what they did and immediately pounce on their choice and go ahead and take a safety that, again, it was a need area for the Browns too. I mean, there's no denying that, Bernie, that the Browns were going into this draft thinking safety, and the safety they ended up getting in round 6 is coming off of an Achilles injury, so there is the question mark there. But I think it's also reflective of how they saw the bottom portion of this draft. Yeah, the Steelers were clearly in love with Shamarco Thomas from Syracuse to take him with that Browns pick, but the Browns knew he was there too and didn't see apparently what the Steelers saw in him, and that's fine. That's what you've got to trust. And then, as you mentioned, the baggage that is there with either injury in the case of the safety Jamar Slaughter that the Browns took in round 6, the other issues with the other players, off-field issues and whatever, down-the-line health issues, those are the things that you find when you get to the bottom part of the draft. There's a reason those guys are there.
Well, you know, the thing I love the most about football, and where sometimes in life outside of football, your personal life, It's you don't get that clarity. What's beautiful about football is it either works or it doesn't. You win or you lose. And making that trade with the Steelers, what a lot of people didn't like it. Some people liked it. The beautiful thing is we're going to watch it play out, and you can't hide it. And they're going to go out on the field, and Shamarco Thomas is either going to be a good player replacing Troy in Pittsburgh, or he's not. Where he's either going to make plays against us, or we're going to beat him like a drum. And that's such a beautiful clarity. It's so cut and dry that you're going to see what's right and wrong. And even like you said, even drafting guys for drafting guys' sake to be camp guys that you whack at the cutdown date. More so, you're seeing guys now like Victor Cruz, who was an undrafted free agent. You know, you're picking guys now. I think Baltimore had double-digit rookies on their team last year that won the Super Bowl. Well, they only had seven or eight picks last year. You know, yet they're finding guys at the end. When you have, if you don't believe a guy is going to be a playmaker for you, a difference maker, or even worse, a guy who will blow a game for you, then you don't, you know, you just don't want to take that risk if you can get a higher pick like that. And the beauty of football, again, like I started out with saying, we're going to get to see how it plays out because you can't hide on in between the white lines.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to be said about that. And here's the other thing, Bernie, that comes into this equation. You have to trust that as the people who are shaping this roster, putting this together, you have to trust what you know about what you already had in place. So they've had ample time, months, to study who was already here and who is already on this team. A lot of young players. I mean, players that are still in their developmental stages of their careers. Now, you could decide that, well, there's really not much help here, that the previous drafters or people who acquired talent in one form or another didn't do such a good job. I don't think that's the case. I think there's actually a sense that there was a good core, young nucleus on this team that could be utilized. And that had to come into the thinking in saying we are not going to make picks this year in rounds 4 and 5 because we have guys available to us already who can fill those spots.
Well, again, and that's where we talked before the draft, before the mini camp, before the draft, and the mini camp right after the mini camp of the 3 or 4 days where the new staff had a chance and some of the new front office people to evaluate what they had as a team. And you know, and it's not evaluating Joe Hayden and guys like that. It's evaluating that level of players who are younger, who need to step their game up, raise it up, and make plays to see if they think they fit into offensive system of North Turner or defensive system of Ray Horton. And you have an idea. Again, when you're not able to make contact and it's not physical, nothing's 100%. But you have to make those assumptions and those evaluations. And hey, even though they have had a few months to study and evaluate, in reality, football, you probably need more. So to not make picks for pick's sake, if you don't have a guy that you have in mind that fits into your system against what you have as players, you're probably better off to. And most teams don't go this way, except the good ones. So I'd rather have more picks than less next year when you have a whole year, not just 2 or 3 months to evaluate.
And how about the acquisition of Devon Bess, Bernie, a guy I know you know quite well. He played for the Dolphins, a slot guy who really fills a clear need in that position for this Browns offense.
Right, and you know I followed him a lot being down here in Florida and coming back and forth. He's made the most, again, another undrafted free agent, a guy who's, I think, averaging over 60-some catches, you know, the last year or two, from the slot primarily. And with some of the younger receivers we have outside with size, speed, and athleticism, being inside, doing that little tougher, grinding-type stuff to dig out the first downs on third downs, I think something that gives us a lot of depth and an opportunity to kind of keep moving the sticks and allows you to take more chances on first and second down the field if you feel comfortable about your third down situation, especially in the slot receiver.
Bernie, great as always, and we will do this again next week, my friend.
Sounds good, bro.
He is Bernie Kosar joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.